You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. That's Great Sipowicet Marsh on Cape Cod. This week it's got red-winged blackbirds, cardinals, chickadees, song sparrows, ducks, probably some other birds in there as well. It's also got tall reeds with pretty feathery plumes on top. That's Phragmites australis, an invasive plant that first arrived here from Europe and Asia in the 1850s and is now in every state except Alaska. If you've been to a salt marsh, you've probably seen Phragmites. Towns spend money to spray with herbicides or chop it down, but that often doesn't work. My next guest says, don't bother. Judith Weiss is Professor Emerita of Biological Sciences at Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey, and she's written about Phragmites for theconversation.com. Judith, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be talking with you.
Judith Weiss, you've studied marshes and other estuary ecosystems and dug into the body of research about Phragmites and its effects on the marshes that it invades. How large is that body of work? I mean, how many studies are we talking about? And on the whole, are most of them finding ecological negative impacts? Are most of them finding no impact or maybe benefits? Kind of what's the breakdown there?
Well, there are papers showing negative impacts, particularly in terms of habitat value for fish. And then there are papers showing, you know, it didn't really matter for the marine aquatic animals. And then there are papers showing negative value for other plants. And that's clear. Other plants on the marsh get outcompeted by the Phragmites. There's no dispute about that. Where Phragmites seems to have an edge in terms of doing good is in terms of a number of the contemporary problems that are seen in our environment in terms of pollution, in terms of climate change, and all of those sorts of things. Phragmites comes out ahead. It is better at sequestering metal contaminants, where both species of plants in an area with metal contamination will take up pretty equivalent amounts from the sediments into their roots. The Phragmites tends to keep most of those metals down in the roots, while the Spartina will send a great deal more up into the stems and the leaves.
Yeah, Spartina alterniflora, of course, is the native dominant plant. And overall, when you look at a Phragmites marsh versus a native marsh, less diverse, more diverse? I mean, is this kind of a, you know, some species don't like it. Does that translate to an overall decrease?
I would say yes, there's an overall decrease. If we looked at the overall habitat value, comparing a natural Spartina marsh with a frag marsh, I would say if a Spartina marsh is a 10, a frag marsh would be a 7, a grade of C, let's say.
Another contaminant that a lot of New England salt marshes struggle with is nitrogen, which is, you know, in and of itself, it's a nutrient, but our septic systems, our sewers, our lawns, we're putting too much nitrogen into these coastal systems.
Yeah, it's not just a New England problem. That's a that's an everywhere problem.
Right. And so how does Phragmites stack up on that front?
Phragmites does a better job with nitrogen also. It takes up more from the sediment. It takes up more from the water. And when it's decaying, it gets denitrifying bacteria on it that return this all to the atmosphere as nitrogen gas. So the frag is a much better at dealing with nitrogen as well as metals. And we can go one step further and talk about carbon dioxide, which is, you know, our biggest environmental issue of climate change. And carbon dioxide is one of the primary greenhouse gases. And similar to nitrogen, the Phragmites takes up more carbon dioxide, sequesters it, and reduces the amount of carbon dioxide that would be available to cause climate change. So when we talk about having positives and negatives, it all depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about habitat, or are we talking about other sorts of ecosystem services?
Well, on the climate change and ecosystem services front, another challenge facing a lot of salt marshes is sea level rise and whether or not they can actually keep up with sea level rise, stay above water, the parts that are supposed to be above water. And you've said and written that Phragmites could help on that front. So how?
Yes, that's extremely important because the marshes, particularly in the Mid-Atlantic and New England, are at great risk vis-a-vis sea level rise. They either have to elevate themselves or move inland. It's true for the metropolitan area and large parts of New Jersey that there really is very little room to move back. There may be a road back there, or right. There's houses and development, towns. The other thing, if you can't move inland, you can rise up if you can. Phragmites, by virtue of having stems that are woodier and don't decay as rapidly, sitting on the marsh surface after it dies and trapping more sediments in the process, Phragmites enables marshes to elevate faster. And at one time, that was considered a negative, because if you're not concerned about sea level rise and your marsh is rising up and up and up, pretty soon it's above water most of the time and it's not a marsh anymore. So that's a negative. However, when you're worried about surviving sea level rise, you have a plant enabling your marsh to rise up and have a much better chance in keeping up with sea level rise. That's a plant we should value, not one we should be spraying herbicides on all the time, everywhere it shows up.
Judith Weiss, you've looked at this body of research and on Phragmites and come to a conclusion and an attitude that I think is different than the prevailing attitude, where many are saying it is an invasive species and on those grounds alone, we should be doing everything possible to get rid of it. When you look at this whole body of research, the benefits and the detriments of Phragmites in North American salt marshes, what do you think we should be doing with or about Phragmites?
Well, I think we need smarter approaches. I think perhaps thin out the Phragmites, remove it in some places, mow it and leave it in the ground so it will come back the following year if you don't like the fact that it's blocking your view of the water. The knee-jerk, it's an invasive species and we can get rid of it, and let's spend millions and millions and millions of dollars and spray tons of herbicides in the process. There's a lot of negatives involved in herbicides. There's also a lot of negatives involved in spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. A whole lot of this has been known for almost 20 years. And you'd like to think that management is informed by science. And we have had this science around since the early 2000s, late 90s to 2005, whatever. And the management has not been paying any attention. You know, this is falling on deaf ears or just not paying attention. And that's very frustrating.
And what do you think drives that? Why hasn't the science been heeded?
Well, I'll tell you. There is money to be had, and companies, consulting firms, that make their money by killing Phragmites and planting Spartina. They don't make money if they don't do that. You know, it's interesting. The invasive species are treated as guilty until proven innocent. In great contrast, the pollutant chemicals, which in this country are considered innocent until proven guilty. And it seems to me we're backward. There's lots of things we can do different from what we've been doing. And I think we have to consider the sea level rise issue as probably the most important one to keep our marshes around. And when you have a plant that, let's say, gets a C or a C minus for habitat value, but gets an A for helping your marsh survive sea level rise, we may ultimately be faced with a choice of having either a Phragmites marsh or no marsh in some areas. And I would certainly much rather have a Phragmites marsh than no marsh.
Judith Weiss is Professor Emerita of Biological Sciences at Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed speaking with you.